Welcome to Conversations with the Unseen. My name is Andy.
And my name is Laura. And in December 2019, we began an amazing and completely unexpected journey conversing with beings from the unseen world, which has totally transformed our lives.
And here we are, after hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations, doing what our non-physical friends have been encouraging us to do, sharing their message with others who may be interested.
So let's dive in.
Hello, dear friend.
Oh, hello, Mexicans. Good to be with you, connected in this way.
As always.
And so, in a recent podcast, Susan and I were talking to you about quietening the mind. And it was a wonderful conversation that created more questions. And so here we are, back again, to continue the conversation with you. And so, Susan, thank you for playing.
Thank you for inviting me.
Always fun. And I guess I'm curious, so what was it really stood out like for you from the last conversation that we had with the Mexicans on this topic?
Well, I mean, so much, but there were a couple of things in particular. And one was I really loved the description of the tea break for the mind. You know, it kind of cuts through all that language about meditation and, you know, just all the language around the stuff that supposedly you need to do to quieten the mind. And so I just thought that, yeah, I just thought that was lovely. You know, who doesn't love a tea break? So that really made me smile. And I thought, yeah, maybe that's a way for people who are really new to this and who are actually maybe a bit apprehensive about exploring this thing of quietening the mind, maybe that's how they can see it. And I think, you know, something the Mexican said was just sit for 1 minute. You know, it doesn't have to be let's sit and endure a half hour sitting cross-legged on the floor, not moving kind of, you know, meditation. So 1 minute to have a tea break, brilliant. But I think the biggest thing that stood out for me, and this conversation is really timely today because I've got a little bit of this experience myself. So Mexicans, you talked about being in the eye of the storm, which I think I can really relate to that experience. I can also relate to the experience of being in the storm, you know, and being whipped around by it. And you know, when the external world is frantic or chaotic or just busy, it can be quite difficult to find that eye of the storm. But I can connect with that more and more now through the practice that I've been doing for years. And then, so I thought that'd be interesting to explore. And then today, I wouldn't describe it as a storm, but I'm going on holiday tomorrow. So I'm taking a week off, whatever that means. When you work for yourself, it doesn't kind of have the same meaning. But anyway, I'm taking a week and spending it with my family. And so there's that kind of feeling that I think a lot of people get the day before you go on holiday, of stuff you want to get finished, things you need to do. And I'm finding my mind is pinging all over the place. And so finding that eye of the storm, finding that quiet space is, for me, feeling more challenging today. And I feel pretty sure that I'm not the only one that experiences that. So when someone's got that experience of whether it's finishing up to go on holiday or just got lots of things on, how do people find that eye of the storm and deal with that pinging mind that's like a pinball machine? What's your guidance on that for people?
We are aware that there are many distractions in the world of form. For the human self, it is common to be distracted. And when there are many distractions, it can seem like there is some kind of storm, some kind of
tornado happening when there is intensity in the experience of the world of form. And so step one, we would say, is to believe and know for sure that there is an eye of the storm, that there is a peaceful place in amongst all of that intensity. And for the human self to know that that is possible, to be connected with an energy of peace when what seems to be occurring all around is very chaotic. The chaos or the feelings of storm-like energies do not have to be one's experience. It is a belief, it is a story that the human self is believing that because certain events seem to be happening, there are pressures, there are events that would stir up the emotions. There is a belief that that leads to a feeling inside. And we would say that the feeling inside does not have to be determined by what seems to be occurring on the outside. And of course, this is quite tricky for the ego to believe, because the ego is generally believing that in order to feel peaceful, things on the outside need to be a certain way. And we would say it happens the other way around, it happens in reverse. By aligning with an energy within, that is what will create more peace on the outside. And therefore, to know that that is possible would then lead to a different energy around it for the human self to then be curious. If that does exist, how is it that we can experience that? How do we bring that into our experience? And there are techniques, of course, for quieting the mind. We would say that these are helpful, breathing and so forth. These help to calm down the biology within the body that is causing the heart to race and other reactions. We would say also an even more effective approach would be to align with the inner being. To align with the inner being is to seek a different perspective on what seems to be happening. So the world of form is a certain way. The energy within the body is as it is, perhaps not feeling as comfortable or relaxed. And the inner being's perspective would be outside of that response to the environment. The inner being's perspective would be the eye of the storm, the calm state in the middle of what seems to be happening.
Yeah, I really love something you said a minute ago, Mexicans, about storms don't have to be part of our experience. And I certainly know for me in the past, and I hear it with other people, the experience of being human, I think many of us can feel that storms are a part of life. And so we maybe come to expect them. We maybe accept them, actually, and accept, oh, well, I'm in a stormy part of my life, so it will get better when, and we put it into the future. So I really love that. You know, if I wonder how it feels for people to just sit with that possibility that storms don't have to be part of our life. And I think what I'm hearing from you, Mexicans, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you said right at the start, is the first step is believing that there is an eye of the storm. So that thing of believing, even if you can't, you don't feel you can experience it right now, it's just believing it's possible. And I think that's probably where I started with. It was like, there's got to be a different way than this, than the roller coaster of ups and downs of life.
I love that too. There's, when you're saying that, and when I was listening to the Mexicans, what was occurring to me is when we're in the storm, inverted commas, we're more aligned with the ego perspective. The ego perspective is the dominant perspective. And how will we know that? Because we'll feel it. But I guess when we're in that storm, it can feel so goddamn real that so many times I've been tricked thinking, well, this has to change before I can be okay. Like, it's really hot right now. And I'm really sitting in the space of, does it really have to be cooler for this body to be comfortable? Now, the ego's like, of course it does. Hello. Except when I ask the inner being, the inner being's like, no, the weather doesn't have to change. You could choose a different experience in this moment. And I'm not saying that I can choose it, but I'm like, oh, that's a possibility. It's like another little bit of like the solid physical world just fell away.
And we would say from our perspective, this example represents what is occurring for the human self continuously. There is what seems to be happening, hot weather or any other situation that is causing the human self to feel uncomfortable. And there is the response to what seems to be happening. And whilst the human self would say, we cannot control the weather, it is possible to respond in ways that do not cause so much emotional turmoil, trying to control the uncontrollable.
Which makes me chuckle because I live with somebody who loves when it's this hot. And so right there, I'm like, there's a different perspective. And it, I guess it's when we don't question these perspectives, we're buying into them. And part of the quietening the mind is disengaging from what seems to be happening as seen from the human self, which, to be honest, it's like if someone had said to me, like said that to me 10 years ago, I'd be like, you're kidding me on what a lot of shit. Like, really? Because we've been so doctrinated in the physical world to believe that is entirely who we are.
Mm. Yeah, and I've had experiences going back a few years, but very recently as well, you know, things like hospital appointments and, you know, procedures involving the body, and it's like, oh, that's going to be uncomfortable. Oh, that's going to take a while to recover from. Oh, you know. And I've chosen to, it's definitely been in that space of believing that there might, that there's a different way to experience it. There's just a real freedom in that for me is, and how it links to quietening the mind for me is, it's recognizing when the stories my own, you know, this ego has, but also the stories that I hear through other people's egos, It's like just letting that kind of narrative kind of be in the background. It's not, for me, it's not about shutting it out or shutting it down, or because that actually just gives it more power in my experience. It's like it's there, it's kind of the background music, and in the foreground is the experience, is the what am I choosing. And I think that's makes sense what you said. It's about, you know, choosing the reaction. It's going inwards, it's going, what's the energy that I want to experience this with? And I certainly, this ego is becoming a bit more on board with it, because I'm experiencing things differently. It's not, you know, blissful and joyful to go and have, you know, stuff done at hospital around the body, but it's not nearly as, certainly the lead up to it, the worrying time that I would definitely have been in before, it's like that just is a bit easier to, I'm not in that worrying state, I'm more in the eye of the storm.
That was so inspiring to witness you like creating that. And when I'm listening to you now, what's occurring to me is that actually you were in the present moment, you know, when you were like coming into the present moment rather than the ego that's freaking out about the made up scenarios, the disaster scenarios, and it stresses itself out about something that's not even happening, like in that moment.
Mm. So I went for this hospital appointment and was really focused on, you know, things will be okay. And the reality is that the result from that particular procedure means I need to go and get something else done. Now, the ego could go, well, that didn't work. In fact, the ego did for a couple of days go, well, that didn't work. Like, you haven't ended up with this perfect outcome. But when I was able to kind of just, again, quieten the mind, I'm like, okay, so this is just another opportunity to practice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that in a flippant kind of easy way, because that is, it's not easy to do. But there's, again, it's that thing of, how do I want to experience this? I don't want to spend the next however many weeks it is I've got waiting, you know, for this appointment to be getting churned up inside about it. That's not going to be good. So I know that last time the lead up to it felt much better. So I'm just going to do that again. And if I have to do it again and again, then okay. So I think, yeah, as you say, it's not about, just think positively and everything will be wonderful and work out, because that's not the reality. And I really don't buy into that, because that's all about the thinking mind. It's definitely about the energy. And I'm curious, Mexicans, just to pick up on something you said about techniques. And you said, of course, there are techniques, and sometimes the techniques can help to sort of, I think you described it as calm down the biology that kind of sometimes comes with this. Could you say more about that? Because there's lots of techniques out there, and I think a lot of people feel they need to use techniques, or that's the starting point. Can you just say a bit more about your perspective on the place that these sorts of techniques have within what you're sharing with us?
The body is energy, just as everything else in the universe is. And whilst the experience of inhabiting a body and interacting with the world of form is created as a physical one, a physical experience, it is all energy. And therefore, we would say to any human who is in search of technique to calm the biology, to follow their own inner guidance system, to experiment and to notice any impact that a technique may have. There are, as you point out, many techniques that can be used, and there is not one universal technique that would be best for everyone. However, there is an awareness that can be applied universally, and the awareness is to be fully present in the moment, to be aware of the stories that the mind is coming up with, the imagined future disasters that could occur, and the technique, if that is what the human self would describe it as, would be to come back into the present moment, to focus on the here and now. How is this present moment being experienced by the human self? If there is some feeling of discomfort or agitation, then the question to the inner being is, help me to experience this present moment differently. Show me your perspective. Help me to calm down the mind and the body. And that will be the best approach to being in any situation, whether it is stormy or not, whether it is blissful or terrifying. Whatever is your experience of the present moment, we would offer guidance towards alignment with the inner being, and that will help and assist the human self to enjoy the blissful moment as fully as possible. It will also help the human self to remain calm when something terrifying could be happening. And so just to be in alignment would be the only technique that we could recommend.
Do you know what I love and adore about the Mexicans? You know, so we're in this like storm, and how complicated the ego can make it. And that question you share, like Mexicans, help me to experience this present moment from your perspective. Help me calm down the body and mind, inner being. Like, it's so simple. It's laughable, because of course, when I feel like I'm really caught in a storm, all these analogies, you literally can't see the wood for the trees. If I said that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We would say our perspective is perhaps less complicated than many perspectives from the physical realm, from apparent other humans. And we are not saying that our suggestions are necessarily easy for a human self to adopt, but they are, we hope, simple to understand.
Absolutely. That's how I experience it, Mexicans. And I, you know, thank you for saying that you can appreciate that it's not easy, because they are wonderful questions. And yet I know I spent a long time maybe not asking that exact question, but asking for help, like help me experience this differently. And what I see now is that I used to go into the head. I used to think the answer was in here. So I would think, well, if I go and do this, then I'll feel better. And I think that's where the kind of techniques come in. And that can work up to a point. It can help to, so it's not like don't do it. But I think over time, certainly for me, and this is what I experienced just before we came on this call. So I had that pinging mind that I talked about, and I was like, okay, so I could do this, 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 or this. And I was like, I'm just going to sit here I'm just going to sit here. And it's something you said, Mexicans, in our previous call about, you know, that tea break for the mind. I did actually make a cup of tea, so I literally had a tea break, but I just sat, and I wasn't trying to achieve any particular kind of state. I wasn't meditating. I wasn't even really being mindful of drinking the tea as a technique. But I just gave myself that permission, and naturally the mind did stop pinging quite so quickly. So I kind of just wanted to pick up on that, because there may be people listening who think, all right, okay, I'll ask that question, but then they'll sit and wait to hear the answer coming through their head. And that might happen, but I would just remind them, and I'm sure you would do too, Mexicans, which part of you is that you're listening to? Because the ego is pretty good at jumping in, even when you're asking for the inner being. And that's the practice, really, isn't it? That we talk a lot about, Laura, is discerning which bit of it is answering the question.
I don't know if it's true for you, but for this ego, if something works twice, then it's a new habit or it's a new thing. And just that awareness of, just because something happens in one situation or one moment doesn't mean to say that that will be effective in the next moment, because that is truly the ego just trying to make another system. And that one has caught me out so many times. And so what I've been really coming to see is that the only system, if there was one, is look to the inner being. That's it.
Yeah. And I was thinking, as I was listening to you there, Laura, that so sometimes for me, in those situations where I ask the inner being, you know, to help me calm down, it might be that I put on some music and start dancing, or I might go for a walk, might go and have a nap. You know, I might meditate, and sometimes I'll do nothing. Sometimes I'll literally just sit. And so, I just totally, you know, that totally resonates with me that it's not about looking for the thing, that if I always do that, then I'll always get that outcome. Being prepared for it to actually be, you get a different answer every time you ask, perhaps.
And therefore, the human self, which is a creature of habit and seems to like rules, when something is occurring, will deal with a situation in a way that it believes will work best. And the alternative is to, rather than follow the human self, the ego's habitual way of responding, would be to slow down and check inside, connect with the inner being, and follow its guidance. Because, as you have said, each situation may require a different response. And so to be following the inner being's guidance in the moment is to always energetically be responding to what is happening with the most appropriate energy. Also, the human self tends to respond to situations by wanting to solve apparent problems, by being very proactive and hunting down a solution and beating the problem to death. And that is a tendency for the ego. And there is another way, an opposite way, which is rarely chosen by the ego, which is to sit and allow the response or the solution to what is happening to come. So to attract in what is required rather than go hunting for it.
Susan, I don't know about you, but there's times where it's so challenging to resist the compulsion of the ego to want to beat something to death. And even though you're like, okay, I need to step back. I need step back. It's like there's this other part going, no. And it's just, it's laughable. It's like that thing I used to say, you know, I'm not eating the chocolate. How did it get in my mouth? Like, what happened? And I guess we just blank.
Yeah. And I think it's so often we do things, we've done them so often, they're so habitual that we find we're in it again before we even realise that that's what we've done. And that's, for me, that's part of the practice, is noticing it more and more. And I'd really encourage people to kind of go gently with this, and when they notice that, oh my goodness, right, I've got caught up in it again. The thing that really worked for me was humour. So when I could kind of smile and sometimes even laugh and go, I'm doing it again, I'm doing that thing again, rather than Susan, you know, and with a really harsh tone of voice, having a real go at myself, that really helped as well. The kind of humour of, I've fallen into that trap again. Okay, I get to choose next time. And that's the thing, we get to choose, in every moment we get to choose, but we need to be in the moment to be choosing in the moment, as opposed to in the future trying to choose. So, yeah.
And certainly the human ego and its behaviour is a source of great amusement for us.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And therefore, why not for yourself also?
Yeah.
I love that. So, Mexicans, I'm aware of the time, another made-up concept. But as we draw this conversation to a close, I just wonder if you have any final things you'd like to share with anybody who may be listening, who would like to quieten the mind more and to be able to connect with that space of peace in the eye of the storm.
Yes. Our final words are, please remember, there is nothing serious going on.
Oh, yes.
You know, I love that, Mexicans. I think there's maybe a podcast called There's Nothing Serious Going On Here. Because the ego makes it so bloody serious and significant, and it just kills the joy that is possible. Thank you, Mexicans.
We flow love to you.
Most gratefully received.
Until next time.
Until next time.
You've been listening to Conversations with the Unseen.
If you'd like to know when there's a new conversation available, then remember to subscribe and also to share it with others.
If you'd like to have a written transcript of each conversation, then you'll find this on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
And if you have a question you'd like us to ask on your behalf, or if you would like to join the mailing list, then you can also do that on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
Until next time.